Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for joining me and listening. This is our devotional series of Suffer Well. We do this here every single day. We do it on the radio, and we also do it online over the internet on our website, TorahLifeMinistries.org. I'm reading this devotional series from a man in jail who wrote this, torn away from his family, and dealing with this, what he's going through, and persevering. He's a brother in the faith, and he wrote these amazing devotionals that I love to share with you about suffering well. And this is what we're called to as believers, is to suffer well. Today's message is very powerful, so I'm going to read the devotional, and then I'm going to talk about it, because this is a message I believe we all need to hear, and I encourage you to share this message with others. So we did recently a one called The Way of Man. This is The Way of Man Part 2, and it says, and listen, this is profound. Listen, this is so amazing. It says, a man and his wife entered the church. After the worship, the pastor begins to preach. The wife is fully engaged while her husband dozes off. He tries his best to stay awake. She nudges him when the service is over. They rise up and leave. For many weeks, the same pattern continues. The pastor notices the husband's tendency and labels the man as disinterested in spiritual matters. He wonders why the man even comes. Others in the congregation have noticed and wondered the same. Several weeks pass since the last time the man and his wife attend. When she appears alone in a service afterwards, she finds the pastor and asks him if she could speak with him. The pastor willingly agrees and quickly discerns the meeting will be about her disinterested husband. He is ready to minister to her heart as needed. As the meeting begins, the pastor says, I have not seen you in church for quite some time. How have you been? The lady, with tears streaming down her eyes, says, it's my husband. Yes, I figured that, the pastor replies. She continues, you see, he has cancer. He is dying. He takes his medication and it makes him very tired and sleepy. He was embarrassed about coming and falling asleep, so he stopped coming. He does not seem to have much time left, and he wanted me to tell you something. He said that it made him so happy to be able to come and see you and listen to you preach. You are his favorite teacher. He asked me to thank you. Never judge, loved one. Never think you know what's going on within someone, just by the eternal appearance of things, or the external appearance of things. Caring takes time. And if you are willing to ask yourself the tough question, do you struggle with caring for others? Healing comes from a mind spiritually redeemed that can admit, I don't really care about other people as much as I should Help me, Yeshua. Give me a heart, a mind that cares for others more than I care for myself. And the scriptural verse that we read today is John 15, verse 13. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. This is such a powerful message. And it's a message I give to people all the time, because we can be misunderstood by things that are going on. And I even have a person in my life that gets very angry often because of misunderstandings. One day I was on a conference call at my house, and he came to the door, and he heard other people in the house, and he knocked on the door, and I came out and I told him, I'm very busy, I can't talk right now, and I gave him what he needed and sent him on his way. and he got very upset at me. And after a couple of weeks went by, I spoke to him again, and he says he was very upset and disappointed that I didn't invite him in for the fellowship that I was having in my house. And I had to explain the message to him that we don't understand why always people are doing things. Everyone has personal things going on in their lives, and sometimes they're willing to share it with others, and sometimes they're only sharing it with a few people and keeping these matters private. But before we're ready to judge, and we will talk about judging today because the Bible does call us as believers to judge, but before we're ready to judge, or when we judge, we have to do it with the right heart, not the wrong heart. Not to judge to knock somebody down, not to judge out of pride, not to judge to prove we're right, but to judge out of love and lift somebody up. But we need clarification when we're judging. We as believers are not to give the appearance of evil, and we're to do our best to share and let others know, our brothers and sisters, if things are going on that might give the wrong appearance. But as people judging them, we need to understand the importance of what Scripture says with fellowship and bonding. Now, if this man in this devotional had been going to church for years, I would assume the people know him well enough to notice something was different and something was wrong. And the question on their mind should have been, what is the issue? I know this isn't really him. I know he loves this pastor. I know he's here every week and he's awake. How can overnight he be disinterested? Something must be going on. And if he's been going there a lot, they must know something was wrong. And they should approach him. Are you okay? You know, and maybe if they prayed about it, they would have realized as a possibility he was dealing with a sickness or something. Or at least asked him. But to judge him immediately, it shows a lack of many things in this situation. Now, if this was a new person that came and they didn't know him, that's another story. But regardless, we need to judge as believers, but we need to judge with the right heart. It doesn't say in the Scriptures not to judge. That's a misunderstanding. When people say we shouldn't judge, that is not scriptural. The only thing we should not judge is somebody's salvation. That is up to our Creator. But it says a spiritual person judges all things. But we need to judge to lift somebody up and not tear them down with the right heart. And we look at this and about caring for others and to care for others. And I tell people this all the time. We don't know what people are going through. I've been through some situations in my life, some personal situations in my relationships that I didn't want to share with other people. And it might have changed my behavior to a certain degree. And there are other situations where I had to make decisions that might have given the appearance of evil. And in some situations, I very well was guilty. And people didn't do their diligence and judge me. For if they did, maybe it would have helped me. But they didn't. But those times where I was innocent and I was judged based on just the way I was acting with people coming to me, we can't do that to others. We must understand what love means. We must understand the fellowship and the bond between brothers that we're supposed to have and sisters as believers. We must understand this. 1 John 3:16 says we know what real love is because Yeshua gave up his life for us. So we must be willing to give up our lives to brothers and sisters. Yeshua set the perfect example in what he did for us. Willing to give up his life and willing to love one another. And when we look at the appearance of one and what's going on, how well do you know this person? And what's going on? And what's happening? And this story is just powerful. Powerful. And I ask you today, is there somebody in your life? And it looks like they're doing evil. It looks like they're doing something that's not respectful. It looks like they're doing something that's not scriptural. Are you judging them, and are you judging them with the right heart? Not to knock them down, not to call them out and throw them under the bus, but to lift them up. Where is your heart, and how is your heart? I tell you, and I remind you again, people that say don't judge, only God can judge, is not a scriptural concept. But the Bible tells us to judge. That's how we tell the difference between good fruit and bad fruit. Matthew 7:18-20 says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. Thus, by the fruit you will recognize them. The fruit isn't how big somebody's house is or how many cars they have in their driveway. The fruit is the love, patience, kindness, gentleness, and all these things we discuss here at this ministry. And that's what we have to do. That's how you recognize them. Well, excuse me. That's how. Let's fix this. Studio error here. Okay. That's how you judge. That's how you judge. But we have to understand judging is concerning. And we need to concern one discern. You know, we're not supposed to team up with darkness. But we're supposed to understand and understand. Matthew 7:1-5 says, don't judge, said that you won't be judged. For with the judgment you use, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log in your eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and look, there's a log in your eye? Hypocrite, first take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So, I think the greatest person to minister to somebody, let's say, who's addicted to alcohol or drugs, would be somebody who's overcome alcohol or drug addiction. But even somebody who's not dealing with it would still be somebody to minister it. But if somebody's struggling with an alcoholic or drug addiction, they're the worst person to judge somebody else. Unless they say, well, let's get through this together and we both got an issue or something like this. But this scripture is not telling us not to judge. It's saying judge righteously. Romans 2:1-2 says, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. So we must understand this. Romans 2:21-22 says, therefore, you who teach someone else, do not teach yourself. You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who preach that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? We cannot do things like that. But we must discern. We must discern. How are we going to know the righteous versus the unrighteous if we don't judge? Matthew 7:6 says, don't give what is holy to dogs, or toss your pearls before pigs, where they will trample them with their feet, turn and tear you to pieces. We need to watch out and judge. We need to judge false teachers. We need to put everything up against the scriptures. But we also must connect with people. And that's what it's about, connecting with people. When you judge righteously, you connect with people. For if somebody's given the appearance of evil, who you know, you need to connect with them. Even if somebody you do not know, connect with them. Try to help them. But remember, it says in 1 Corinthians 6:2, or don't you know the saints will judge the world? And if the world is judged by you, you are unworthy to judge the smallest case. Are you unworthy to judge the smallest cases? 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, the person with the spirit makes judgments about all things. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. So we must judge. For how can you warn without judgment? We must lift each other up and judge, but we must do it with the right attitude. For the Pharisees and the sages weren't doing it with the right attitude. Yeshua did it with the right attitude, to lift somebody up to lift somebody up. It says in Proverbs, there's another word for wisdom, 9 verse 8, do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. We must understand the concept of love. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is of Yeshua. Titus 3:2 says, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people, considering people and what they may be going through. Proverbs 27:5-6 is better open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. So I call you to understand and comprehend this story today that we're reading. And to understand with love, with the love of scripture that we're called to do as setting the example by Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah. That we to love our brother and love our sister. It says in John 1:4-16, and we have come to know and believe the love of Yahweh has for us. Yahweh is love. Whoever abides in love and Yahweh and in Yahweh in him. Hallelujah. If we love one another, Yahweh remains in us, and all his love is perfected in us. Hallelujah. So we must love each other, and there's no such thing as unconditional love. Love is unconditional. There's no conditions. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. That's what we have to understand. And if you love someone, you're not automatically going to assume the worst. You're always going to assume the best. Do you hear me? You're always going to assume the best. You're always going to defend even what appears wrong. But you got to approach and speak and communicate with that person or that situation. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty pride. But in humility, consider others more important than yourself. 1 Peter 2:17 says, treat everyone with a high regard. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God, honor the king. And 1 Peter 1:22-23 says, now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but imperishable through the living and enduring word of our wonderful creator. This is such an important message I want you all to understand. So many people struggle when they see unrighteousness taking place. And it may very well so be confirmed that their evil is true. And there is no excuse for it. And there's a way to handle that scripturally as well. But before we even get to that point, we must be willing to reach out and speak to our brothers and sisters and find out what is going on. Why are they acting strange? Why are they doing these things? Proverbs 26:25 says, they pretend to be kind, but they don't believe them. Their hearts are full of many evils. We can't have that type of heart. But we also have to be honest. Love is bold. Love is honest. As we said, again, I read it, Proverbs 27:5-6, better is a rebuke, is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds of a friend can be trusted, but the enemy multiplies kisses. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. We must be willing to help one another. We must be willing. I know people that are living their lives. They're not living up to the truth, and we have to tell them the truth. And they say, why are you judging me? I don't like your attitude. Look at your own self, and they get defensive. But I tell you this. I tell you the Bible says that we have to. A true friend will be honest. A true friend will tell the truth. We need to be open. For the one that doesn't love says nothing, but the one that loves considers others. And we need to consider others always, even more than ourselves. for my love for others is more important than them liking me. I'm going to tell them the truth to help them with the right attitude. Philippians 4:5 says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, Yahweh is coming soon. Titus 3:2 says, preachable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. In the same way, be considerate. 1 Peter 3:7. Romans 15:1-3 says, we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in Yahweh. For even Yeshua didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, Yahweh, have fallen on me. As Romans 12:16 says, we're to live in harmony with one another, not to be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Don't think you know it all. So when you see somebody that's not given the right appearance, that's not the time to condemn. It's the time to pray, understand, and approach, and speak, and try to help. Psalms 41:1 says, blessed is he that considers the poor. Yahweh will deliver him in a time of trouble. Philippians 2:3-4 says, don't act out of selfish ambition or conceited. Instead, humble. Think of others as being better than yourself. Don't be concerned only about your own interest, but also concerned about the interest of others. 1 Corinthians 10:24, people should be concerned about others and not just about themselves. 1 Corinthians 10:33, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, they may be saved. I tell you again, there are so many times where my flesh wants to tell me, Paul, just shut up and don't say anything. You're going to upset this person. But they need to know. One of the things that's strongly on my heart is modesty. And when I see people dressed immodest, it's not politically correct for me to tell them you need to put some clothes on. That's not helping your walk or something else. And every single time somebody gets offended by it, don't tell me how to dress. Don't tell me what to wear. I do it in love. And even so much that if it's going to hurt my friendship with that person, I do it in love. Just like I'd want somebody to tell me things, and they have, and it's helped me, and I'm so thankful they did. Sometimes love hurts, you know, but the truth will set us free, right? It says in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-5, love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy or boast and is not conceited. It does not act improperly. It is not selfish, not provoked, and does not keep records of wrongs. Ephesians 4:2 says, demonstrating an expression of humility, greatness, patience, accepting one another in love. And James 2:8 says, if you fulfill the royal law above all these things, thou shalt love the neighbor as they love themselves, to do well. So I call you today as you listen to this to judge one another with the right heart and the right attitude, and not be concerned that this might damage your relationship. For if you pray about it and approach it in the right way, it'll only build and strengthen yourself, the person, and the whole situation. Even if it doesn't turn out great immediately, eventually they'll come back and see you were only trying to help them. For keep everything scriptural. Take it to scripture. We don't want to cause a stumbling block. We don't want people to have the wrong emotions, but we can't let that stop us from telling the truth and speaking the truth. We need to be considerate in all things, and keeping our mouths shut when we should speak is not considerate of one another's. For if somebody is doing something wrong, we need to speak up. We need to speak up. And to not enjoy being around unrighteousness, and to let people know why we have this problem. But first, we must clarify, just like the devotion said, is everything okay with you, brother? Why are you sleeping when you're usually up and awake? Is something wrong with your health? Are you not getting enough sleep at night because something's on your mind? For what is keeping you from hearing the word of God? And understanding and talking, but to do things with the right heart, considering for each other. Proverbs 21:10, a wicked person desires evil. He has no consideration for his neighbor. For this person could have came back and said it's a personal matter, but it's not the way it appears. Remember, we have to give brothers the benefit of the doubt. It says in Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against someone. Forgive as Yahweh forgave you. Ephesians 4:32 says, instead be kind to each other and tender-hearted. Forgive one another just as Yahweh has forgiven you. Tender-hearted. James 5:16 says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Prayer and righteous man availeth much. So this is the heart we need to approach this with. And I pray if there's any situation in your life where there's people in your life that are going through things, you can learn to approach them with the right heart at the right time and speak to them truly. And I'm so thankful for those of you out there that have spoke truly about me. For as it says here, repentance brings refreshing. And to judge one another righteously is a beautiful thing. And I'm blessed to share this message with you and this wonderful devotional that I read. And I pray that we get this and understand this, because it could free us from so much. And we could live in joy and peace with one another, which is what it's all about. Judge, but don't judge by appearance. Judge in prayer, in consideration, and love, to lift somebody up and not tear them down is the point of this message. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening today. Please share this with others. You can see more at our website at TorahLifeMinistries.org. We do these every day. You could also go to our Patreon page and support us there, patreon.com/TorahLifeMinistries. There's also a donation key at TorahLifeMinistries.org. I thank you so much, everybody, for considering this message. And I remind you, if there's somebody in your life that you know is a righteous brother or sister, but they're given the appearance that's not righteous, approach them and speak to them with a tender heart and love them. Thank you, everybody. Have a blessed day and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 3341. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.